Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni v terminu Ereš intervjuja, danes namenjenega zasedbi Hercules and Love Affair, ki je v petek izvedla odličen nastop v kinu Šiška. Intervju je sicer nastal že pred samim koncertom, a kljub temu prepozno, da bi se odvrtel že v petek popoldne pred koncertom. V Šišenskem zaodrju sem se pogovarjal z vodjem zasedbe Andyjem Butlerjem, potem, ko je Andy s preostalimi članicami in člani zasedbe razdrl nekaj politično nekorektnih šal na račun izbruha islandskega vulkana in islandske glasbene ikone Björk. Ker so med intervjujem potekale tehnične priprave na koncert, je zaradi hrupa kvaliteta posnetka malce slabša, zaradi česar se vam že vnaprej opravičujemo.
Hi Andy, how's your traveling to Slovenia? Do you have any problems because of the volcano eruption in Iceland?
Any cancelled flights?
No cancelled flights. We were very lucky. Yesterday we heard the news, and these kinds of news is so crazy, you know? It's like the World Trade Center, or like the tsunami, or like immediately you think the worst, right? Yeah. You think, oh my god, we're going to die. But we've did the research and found out that we could still come to Slovenia, so we were very happy, you know?
Cool. Yeah. Where did y'all guys came from? New York, or where were you yesterday?
You know, yesterday we were in Milan for a big event, but the band now, you know, this Hercules and Love Affair is a musical project that has been evolving and changing, and it's very funny now because the band is spread out all over the world. Mm-hmm. So some of the people who you have already met today come from very different places. One girl comes from Barcelona, one girl comes from Berlin, mm-hmm. one comes from Chicago, one comes from San Francisco, and I'm from Denver. Okay. So when we come together, it's just to rehearse and play the shows. Or record music.
So where do you meet?
It depends. You know, it's often I usually decide.
Okay.
But in some country, somewhere, you know, okay. It's, which is kind of fun. You know, we are a very international band.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So who's gonna be on stage tonight? It's gonna be the same lineup as for the last European tour last December.
No, it's a new. Yeah, from last December. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have five of us.
Yeah, okay.
The one singer from Berlin named Ayria Negrot.
Yeah.
She is a wonderful, wonderful singer, recording her own music with B Pitch Control, which is Ellen Alien's techno label in Berlin, you know.
Yeah.
And she has a very, very unique vocal style. And she evokes the old disco singers like Grace Jones, Amanda Lear, the big, big, big voice. So she will be on stage with us. The other will be Sean Wright, and he is I met him in New York, but he is from Chicago.
Yeah.
And he has more of a gospel voice, a very big, big personality and big, big voice.
Yeah, it reminds me somehow of Anthony Haggerty's voice.
Yeah, I mean, he does. There's moments, you know. There's
his falsetto singing.
And he can, you know, Sean covers, sings blind in the show, you know. And
the second version.
Yeah, and the first time it happened, or maybe the second time it happened, something magical happened because I was listening and I'm so used to hearing Anthony, my friend, sing that song. And I heard Sean sing it and I thought to myself, wow, maybe this is Sean's song now, you know, like he really owns it. It's really great. So, and then Kim Ann Foxman, who is always with me, she's my best friend and aesthetic collaborator. She consults with me on almost every decision in Hercules and Love Affair.
So you and Kim Ann are basically the only permanent members.
In a way, yeah, because Kim Ann is, it's a very loose project, you know? It's about my music, but it's also just about friendships and good spirits and good relationships and lovely and blah, blah, blah. Hippie, you know.
You mentioned that Daniel Galigo-Soria Negros from Berlin. How did you meet her?
Daniel Galigo?
Yeah.
This is Irene Negrot.
Yeah.
It's a very funny story. 4 years ago, I was on tour with Anthony and the Johnsons. But I was...
Were you playing in
No, I was...
Just touring with them.
Yes, and doing his merchandise.
Really?
Yeah, selling t-shirts and saying, oh, this CD is really...
Maybe I bought this shirt, this t-shirt from you.
Yeah, maybe. No, this was after.
Okay.
But I was like, oh, this CD is so good. This song is so good. This is so good. Oh, and this t-shirt, you should buy this t-shirt. And this is it. And Daniela came up to the table and was just looking very quietly, looking. And I looked at her and I was like, she's very pretty. And then I said, can I help you? And she said, oh, I'm just looking. And I said, what is your name? She said, Daniela. And I said, what do you do here in Berlin? And she said, you know, I'm a performance artist. I sing sort of like opera, but minimal techno. And I was like, whoa, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, sure.
So the next day I said to Anthony that night, I said, let's have lunch with this girl. This girl is very interesting. I met her last night. She sings opera and minimal techno. Let's see. So let's bring her to the hotel and have lunch. So she came to the hotel and met Anthony and we all had lunch. And then 3 years went by and I lost touch with Ilya. I lost touch with Daniela. And the new record came to be, you know? And I was like, I really want to work with Daniela. I want to see what it would be like. Mm-hmm. So I had to call a lot of friends in Berlin.
To find her.
And finally, one friend, I said, Daniela. And he said, oh, Daniela, the blah, 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 Venezuela, la, la, la. I know her. Here's her phone number. We got in touch and immediately we started collaborating.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what happened with the original Hercules Love Affair live lineup with all the instruments and brass sections?
You know, it was a very, very ambitious first tour, you know? Yeah. It was a new project, a new band. I'm very proud of it, you know, because considering that I had never done anything like that before, to go so full on with eight musicians on stage, to bring a brass section, to incorporate so many live musicians, it was a wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. But it was a very expensive experience. And it was also a very logistically difficult experience, you know?
I can't imagine.
You know, it's something that, you know, James Brown did, but when James Brown had a career, and Hercules and Love Affair did not have a career. We were just beginning. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let's make a huge show. So it was too much. Uh-huh. And so the other issue with it was I always felt... Pardon me. You can include that in the
interview. I will.
One more. Okay, so... No, so I always felt with the old show, it didn't make me want to dance.
Really?
No. I loved it. I had fun. I loved all the people on stage. We had fun. It was a boogie. But I never wanted to dance. And so this was a problem for me. Because I want to dance when I'm on stage, you know?
Yeah.
So I decided to make a version of the show that was more club, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And taking these songs that had original organic instruments, sometimes disco instruments, and putting them in a techno context, you know? And I fortunately made friends with someone in San Francisco from a band called Meat Beat Manifesto. They're from the early 90s, very important industrial band.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so early electronic music, they made some early techno music. And he and I started working together, and he helped me imagine this new show that could be much more club-oriented, but still have the diva, the disco vocal focus, you know? So that's how it came.
Cool. I've seen your show in Vienna last December.
Okay,
With five of you performing. Tell me, what were you and Mark doing during the concert? Were you like mixing album live or just DJing the instrumental tracks or...
No, so what is
actually happening? What do you actually do on stage?
What is actually happening is that we use Ableton Live.
Yeah.
and everything, a lot of pre-recorded material that we have gone into the studio and created,
yeah,
especially for the show, we put into Ableton Live.
Yeah.
We then have to sequence it, but very specifically sequence it. So I am in control of the sequencer, which means that I have to step by step create the entirety of the show.
Yeah.
While I'm doing that, I'm also programming live sequences into an analog synthesizer so as to create almost like acid bass lines.
Yeah.
You know, things like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Which takes a little bit of thinking because you have to think in numbers and notes, you know, to program it in. And if you get the wrong number, you get the wrong sequence and things like this. So it's a little tricky.
Okay.
But then also we have a drum machine, an MPC that handles all of our old analog drum sounds. And then we have one other analog drum machine called the Drumfire, which is similar to a Simmons drum, which creates, in the disco era, this very classic sound that doom, boom, 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 or doom, boom.
Okay.
You know, like this.
Yeah.
So a lot of rhythms coming from that as well.
Uh-huh.
So then Mark is handling all of the effects live, and he is mixing the show. So from the stage, Mark is actually mixing the show.
Okay.
And this is something that he thought...
He's got the control of everything.
Over everything. This was something he thought would be a good idea because in the 90s, when he was doing Meat Beat Manifesto and this old, early techno music, these techno bands, they used to... They would not rely on the front of house guy to mix the show. They would actually have the mixer on stage and mix the show and make it sound perfect. So this was the perfect idea, you know. So now I feel like we have a very cohesive, coherent sound that involves a lot of analog electronic equipment, but also involves modern technology, sequences, and a lot of pre-recorded material that we have created intended specifically for the live show. The live show sounds very different than the new record. The new record has been finished last week, and it's very different than the live show.
Okay. I think you already answered my next question in a way, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. Since you're a DJ, can you tell which way of performing do you like more? With live band or the
DJ
way you just described?
Oh, okay, so you mean the old show or the new show?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love the new show.
The new show. It's got anything to do with that you're, I mean, you're basically a DJ, so...
Maybe, but you know what else it
more,
is?
More DJ than a musician.
It's also this. It's also that human beings make mistakes.
Yeah.
And as much as I love human beings...
You don't like mistakes.
I don't like mistakes.
Okay, I get
so,
it.
So, you know, like when you have a drummer and he's drumming... And he gets out of time.
Yeah.
And you have a kick drum.
Yeah.
And then he starts to go out of time.
Yeah.
And the horn players hit flat notes. And then the bass player forgets something. It's like at the end of the show, I'm not James Brown. At the end of the show, James Brown used to say he used to pay his musicians based on how well they played that night.
Really?
Yeah. So if you played well that night, you maybe got $100. If you did not play well that night, you maybe got $10. For me, on Hercules and Love Affair, after every show when we had a live band, I gave everyone a big hug. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I give everyone a big hug, and it's because the show is perfect.
So, cool.
It's different.
You just said that you finished the new album and think it's coming out in September or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about it, how it's gonna sound.
It's very interesting. I feel it's very risky.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like it's very risky. I mean, there are definitely anthemic songs that are in the style of disco. You know, there are very aggressive house music songs in the style of original Chicago house music.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of Euro house music in it. But there is also ambient, sort of Brian Eno-inspired, soft, ballad kind of atmospheric music as well. So it's a very diverse record. And my mom, she's 65, she loves it. So I think hopefully people will like it.
Did she also like your first album?
Yeah, she can sing every word.
Cool. I heard it was recorded in Vienna
Yeah, I spent almost all of it was recorded in Vienna and San Francisco.
With the guys with whom you're performing live, or
no,
just
actually,
you and Kim?
No, I co-produced the record with an individual called Patrick Pulsinger. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Pulsinger is an old DJ. He's not old, but he, in the early 90s in New York City, there was a club called Limelight. And this is where the whole thing with the party monster, you know, Michael Alec. Did you see this movie?
Which movie?
The Club Kid movie where the murder takes place. And it's a. In the early 90s, there was a big scene in New York,
yeah,
with club kids. They dressed wild and it was crazy. And
okay.
It was very, very publicized. Well, he was the resident DJ at this club, you know? So. And he started putting techno records out in 1993. So I've known his music forever. And then he had a very, very popular record in the early 2000s with... This is gonna take a minute. What's his name? Louis Austin.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, so he produced Louis Austin.
Uh-huh, really?
Yeah. So, Patrick produced Louis Austin, and somehow we became friends. I saw his studio, and I decided I wanted to do the whole Hercules record there.
Cool.
So that's how it happened.
So who's singing on the new album?
We have all of these people.
Yeah?
I sing more.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm very proud of those songs. And there's one guest singer, but I don't want to talk about it yet.
Okay.
But he's very cool.
I heard there's Kelly Okereke from Block Party also.
Okay, it's almost, it might be Kelly.
Okay. And it's, okay, it's a secret, okay.
Okay.
You released a mixtape last year called Sidetracked with one new Hercules Love Affair track called I Can Wait. Is it gonna be on a new album as well?
I think yeah? So. You know, it's
the same version, or did you re-record it?
No, I think the same version. It's very noisy, you know, this track is very different for us.
Yeah. More loud, aggressive.
More loud, aggressive. But I think it will maybe fit on the record. I'm still deciding whether I want it, because there are moments on the record that are so soft. It scares me to think that on the same record there could be something so soft and then something so crazy.
Okay.
So maybe.
Okay. Tell me more about your approach to songwriting. Is it like traditional pop songwriting with first you made chord progressions and lead melody, or do you start with beat the way the most of electronic music
no,
is made?
No, I start with chord progression and lyrics,
mm-hmm,
and melody.
Yeah.
Melody is the most important thing for me, you know?
Cool.
I mean, there will be sometimes, it depends on the mood.
Yeah.
You know, like if Kiman and I are hanging out, and we want to make a track, maybe we put a kick in, then we write a bass line, then we
da-da-da.
But then other songs like, you know, Easy on the old record, you know. This song started with all live instruments, you know. So it depends, but I try to write more from this standpoint of focusing on melody and the true basics of your music, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Your first album was really heavily influenced by Greek mythology. How about the new album?
It is a little bit, but I think it's a little more nuanced. You know,
any song titles referring to...
Let me think. No. But within the songs, there are definitely stories about Greek mythology.
Mm-hmm. You wrote all the lyrics, so...
Yes. Kelly...
Never mind. How do you think the whole Greek mythology symbolism, which was all over your first album, influences the way people perceive your music?
I don't know. I mean, I think that people think it is... The one thing that I was very interested in doing was presenting... I was interested in this notion of classicism.
Yeah.
You know, like the idea of... of true beauty and like classic, you know, the idea of a classic. So the way that there are classic disco records,
yeah,
and there are classic books, there are classic albums,
yeah,
there's classical culture, there's classic art. So I wanted to just have something that withstood the stand of time, you know? I wanted imagery that like was forever, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to attach the same to the music. And I don't know, in 10 years maybe nobody will care or listen, but at least that was my intention at the time. And for the new record, visually, aesthetically, I'm doing, I think, something similar, mm-hmm. but simpler, more elegant, and but also I just want something classic.
Okay, cool. To me personally, your first album sounds really dark, even though there is a stereotype that disco music is happy and hedonistic by default. Was this intentionally?
Yeah.
You wanted to make a dark record.
I there are songs I write come from my own life experience.
Yeah.
You know,
which is dark.
which has not always been a light experience, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is in a gradual process trying to become more and more light, you know?
Okay.
So even on the new record, you know, there's quite a few songs that are sad, you know? But they're disco songs, you know? Or some of them are just sad and they're sad songs, you know? Some of them are angry. I mean, there are some lyrics on the album. My mother once said to me, "What does this lyric mean?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, it means this." And she was like, "Wow, that's very sad." You know? But I think it's Anthony taught me something very important. It's just to write personal. You know? Keep your art write from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I just am writing from my heart when it comes to the lyrics, and that's how it is.
Cool. Thanks for the interview, Andy.
Yeah.
Wish you a good show tonight.
Thank you. I hope it's good.
Good party.
Yeah.
Intervju z Andyjem Butlerjem, vodjem zasedbe Hercules and Love Affair, sem pripravil Primož Vozel.
Intervju Radija Študent.
Je good?